Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to our services tonight. If you're visiting with us, I need to let you in on something. I am not the preacher here. So I want to get that straight right up front. If you are visiting with us, though, maybe you're looking for a place to attend. And if you are, I invite you to come back and hear one of our two very good preachers. And also come and check out our Bible classes, because we have some great Bible class teachers and we have Bible classes for all ages. So you're probably wondering, though, if you are visiting with us, if you're not the preacher, then why are you up there preaching? Well, the elders have set aside one Sunday night of each month so that members of the congregation can speak. And that's what this is tonight. We're going to have one speaker, then a song, and then we're going to have another speaker. And even though we're not preachers, Brian and I hope that what we're going to say tonight can be useful to us all. So what am I going to talk about tonight? How does the world know that you're a Christian? When the world looks at us as a church, when the world looks at us as individuals, what do they see that convinces them that we're true disciples of Christ? So, is it because we attend church services on a regular basis? You know, that's a very good thing, but that doesn't really separate us from anyone else. There's lots of religious groups out there that, you know, they attend regularly too. Is it because we attend a Church of Christ? You know, I do believe that it's very important to teach, preach, and believe the right things and have the right doctrine. But, you know, to most of the world, we're just another church. So is it because we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? You know, I do believe that sets us apart a little bit because, you know, not many other religious groups do that. But to most of the world, though, they probably don't even know we do it. Is it because of any other doctrinal issue? Like I said before, I believe it's very important to teach and to preach and to believe the right things, but to most of the world, our differences with other churches are just, you know, just differences with other churches. So what is it then? Luckily, we have the Bible. And in the Bible, Jesus tells us exactly what we need to do to be true disciples of Him. Look, if you want to follow along with me, look over in John chapter 13. Okay, now to set this up, this is merely hours before Jesus is betrayed. And he's just identified Judas as his betrayer and sent Judas out to set that into motion. And then this could be one of the last times before he's crucified that he gets to talk to his disciples. And start reading with me in verse 31 of chapter 13. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And now listen to this. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So that last, in verse 35, that tells us how we can let the world know that we are true disciples of Christ, by our love for one another. So it seems like that love is pretty important. So there's a few things we probably need to know about that love. Like, what kind of love is it? We need to be able to define this love so we can, once we're able to define it and know what it is, then we can develop it in our lives. We need to be able to develop it for ourselves and to help others to develop it in their lives. So once we've developed it, then we need to know how to demonstrate it. And let's see. So let's talk about now what kind of love it is. Jesus said that it was a new command. Is it really a new command? Let's look over in Leviticus chapter 19. Let's start reading in verse 17. "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So far I'm not seeing where it's a new command. In fact, let's look over in Matthew chapter 22. Now, in Matthew chapter 22, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, they're all trying to trick Jesus. They're asking him questions about the law, and they're trying to trick him and stumble him just to see what he has to say. So let's look in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. Right before this verse, one of them asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" And this is what Jesus has to say. Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So this is coming from Jesus. So still I'm not seeing where it's a new command. Maybe we can examine that. Gary Crafts and I, we work at the same company in the same building, and one day a week we have a Bible study with another coworker named Brian Blakely. And in that Bible study, we're studying the Sermon on the Mount. And that's really opened my eyes to what Jesus was dealing with in the first century concerning the Pharisees. It appears what they had done was, instead of just trying to follow the laws of God, they had developed a system that, like Frank said this morning, that we would have in the Bible class this morning, Frank said it was like loopholes. You know, they had figured out everything they could do right up to the point where they didn't think, in their mind anyway, they didn't think they were breaking the law. Instead of just obeying what God had to say, they were trying to get around it. And I want to look in Matthew chapter 5 at a couple of examples of that. It's actually the same example Frank used in class this morning too. Thanks, Frank. But over in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one." So apparently what they had done was they took God's command to do not swear falsely, and they took that second part of that, where it says, where was that at? "But shall perform your oaths to the Lord." They took that part and keyed in on it. So everything else, they felt like they could tell a lie. You know, they could swear by Jerusalem, they could swear by the tabernacle, and they just felt like they could tell a lie. So they had taken what God had commanded and perverted it so much that it's almost not recognizable from what he originally intended it to be. So now let's look at another example. And by the way, I think that is, in a similar way, that's what they've probably done with the love, you know, that Jesus was talking about here. They've taken the love that God had commanded them to love for their neighbor, and they had perverted it. So let's look a little bit further down in verse 43 in chapter 5. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you." We can stop right there, because that proves the point I'm talking about. They had taken what God had commanded and loving your neighbor, and they added that part about hating your enemies. So, and also they had narrowed down their definition of their neighbor so much that it was just a select few. You know, they thought that they could love themselves and then hate everybody else. And that's not what God was talking about. So I think we can learn from that in the Sermon on the Mount that it is a new command. And we can also look at the verse itself and see that it is a little bit different. Look at the part I have underlined there. It says, "The new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So what kind of love was it that Jesus had for us? You know, it was a sacrificial love, right? You know, and that's different. So the kind of love we need to have for each other is a sacrificial love, even up to willing to die for each other. So let's look at a little bit more in this verse. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples." So it's not just a feeling. It's a visible love. You know, the world's going to be able to tell that we're his disciples by this love. So we're going to have to, we've got to do stuff. It's not just a feeling. All right. So to summarize, it is a sacrificial love. It's a love as Jesus loved us. Like I said before, you know, we got to be willing to die for each other. It's also a visible love. You know, this is how the whole world's going to know that we're truly disciples of Christ. So once we have it defined, we need to know how we can develop it. So let's look over in Hebrews chapter 10. Now in this section in Hebrews 10, let's see. This whole section starting in verse 19. He's trying to encourage them to hold on to their faith here. And then he ends it with in verse 24. And let us consider one another, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. So let's take a look at that a little bit. Consider one another. What does it mean to consider one another? I think that means that we need to know each other so well that we don't have to ask each other when we're in need. We just know. We know each other so well that we know when somebody else needs something. You know, you just need to think about each other. So what does it mean to stir up love and good works? You know, if we're here and we know each other so well and we're here, you know, when the services are and we communicate with each other, if, say, Larry Vincent does something good for Wally, you know, I'm going to hear about that. And that's a good example to me. You know, and I'm going to be able to take that example and hopefully encourage me to do it also. Same thing. Say Brandon Miller wants to do something good for Tommy. You know, it's the same thing. You know, I'm going to hear about those things if I'm here and if I'm communicating with my brothers and, you know, and if I know them and we get to know each other. So, and another thing, you know, we could do also is, you know, Brandon could come to me and say, hey, I'm going to go do something for Tommy. Can you come and help me? That would be stirring up good works. So let's look at something else here. Oh, went backwards. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, I understand that this verse, what they were talking about here was that there were some people there that were just abandoning the services. They didn't come at all. But I think that could apply to our congregation too. You know, how can you stir up love and good works if you're not here? How can you get to know each other if you're not here? But not only that, you know, there's obviously times where you can't be here, and that's not forsaking. You know, if you can't be here, if you're sick and you can't be here, if you're out of town, you can't be here. You're not forsaking them. But what if you're in town and you just choose to go somewhere else, or you stay at home? And I think you're forsaking the assembling in that case too, because you can't be here. The whole point is to be here, stir up love and good works, to consider one another, and to help each other. So in the next part, we're looking at, it says to exhort one another. So what does that mean? You know, we need to be here. The whole point of being here is to worship God. But then the second thing is we're trying to help each other get to heaven. And we need to encourage one another. Who's ever, you know, complained about a sermon or the length of a sermon? Who's ever complained about something said during the announcements? Who's ever complained about, you know, something the Bible class teacher said? Who's ever complained about something the guy who's leading the table said? You know, those kind of things aren't what we need to be doing to encourage one another. You know, I'm guilty of it myself, even this morning when Frank stole my example. You know, I was thinking something. So, you know, but we need to stop doing those things if we're doing them and encourage one another. So, and if that's not good enough, how about some step-by-step instructions? Let's look over at 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So that's the stepping stones right there. You know, if you haven't developed this kind of love yet, wherever you're at on these building blocks, you know, we can just add one to the other and then eventually we will develop the kind of love that we need to have. So once we've developed it, once we know what it is, and then once we've developed it, we need to figure out how to demonstrate it. You know, I kind of have an unfair advantage because I have someone living in my house that demonstrates this kind of love more than anybody I know. My wife does a great job of this. She is a good example to me, and even though she does such a good job, the only thing that she can do for me is be a good example, because what she does doesn't do me any good. I need to develop my own kind of love, and I need to demonstrate that love. So how can we demonstrate it? Let's look at a few examples. Here in our assembly, when people come to visit here, what do they see? Do they see people who love each other and like to be around each other? You know, or do they see people who don't really like each other? And when the last amen said, do you hit the door and get out? You know, once again, you know, the point of being here is to worship God, but, you know, we can still be a good example to those people who are visiting us and demonstrate our love for each other. So also in the world, how can we demonstrate this? I got a few examples, and the first one is a hypothetical. You know, recently when the tornadoes come through and our power was out for like 5 days, I figured out that I was woefully unprepared for not having any power for just 5 days. You know, we didn't have any batteries, we didn't have any flashlights, we didn't have hardly anything. So since then, you know, I've started putting my list together and started buying batteries and buying flashlights and lanterns and things like that so I'd be better prepared the next time. But in doing that, I also got to thinking, you know, what if it was even worse? You know, what if it was an even worse catastrophe that the power would be off and you don't know when it's going to come back on? Or even worse, what if it contaminated our water supply, right? You know, and we didn't have any water to drink. So I started thinking that, you know, I need to start stockpiling this stuff in my attic. You know, I need to start getting big gallons of water and putting them up in my attic, you know, bags of rice, things like that, just food so I could have food for a couple of months. And at the same time I was thinking about that, I was preparing for this sermon, and it got me to thinking, this is a true test of the kind of love that we need to have. Say I had 2 or 3 months worth of food, and I knew that some of you didn't. And I knew that if I knew I need to share with you, but if I did, you know, it might mean that me and my family might starve and we might die. You know, but that's a true test. That's the kind of love that, you know, Jesus wants us to develop here. Another good example, and this is more practical, it's not a hypothetical, is that unfortunately from time to time, there's a lot of us that have to go into the hospital. Now, what kind of impact would that be on the world if when one of us is in the hospital that every member here come and visited them while they were in the hospital? You know, what kind of impact would it be on the nurses, on the doctors, on the other patients there? You know, if they saw 200 people come in to visit someone in the hospital. Now, I know I've used this excuse before. Well, maybe I just don't know them that well, so I'm not going to go visit them in the hospital. But, you know, that's one of my points, too. We need to get to know them that well. And also, you know, what better time? They're just laying there in the bed. You know, you can get to know them, you know, if they're in the hospital. So, another example is something similar, you know. Unfortunately, we all have loved ones that pass away, and we have funerals. It'd be the same thing, you know, if every member here showed up at a funeral for someone who's a member here that has a loved one pass away, and what kind of example would that be for the people who work at the funeral home, the other family members of the member here, friends of theirs? You know, that would be a great example, too. So, let's see. You know, what if we just don't do it? What if we know what we need to do? We know the kind of love that we need to have. We know we need to develop it, and we just don't. You know, what would happen? Let's look at some verses here. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly here. In 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Now, that sounds pretty serious there. And I think, by the way, these verses are talking about the kind of love I'm talking about, the kind of love that we need to develop. Next, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This kind of reminds me of the verse where it's on Judgment Day and you're in front of God and he says, depart from me, for I know you not. That's what it reminds me of. Now in 1 John 4:20-21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So what does all this mean? The only conclusion I can draw is that if you don't have the proper love, that means you're not a disciple. And if you're not a disciple, does that mean you're not going to go to heaven? You know, I don't know about you, but that's pretty scary to me. And I know that I need to develop that kind of love in my life. So, but you know, it doesn't have to be that way, though. It doesn't have to be that scary. Look in 1 John 4:16-18. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So that tells me there that, you know, if you develop this kind of love that we're talking about, then you can have confidence in the day of judgment. Now, I know that maybe we don't emphasize this kind of love enough. I know I haven't emphasized enough in my life, and it's time for me to start doing it. So I invite you all to join me, and let's just all do better. And then we can show the world, you know, what true disciples are like. You know, when I was practicing this at home, it went much smoother. And the only difference I can tell from home and here is, you know, between the difference between home and here is you people, right? So, since it didn't go smoother, it's your fault. But that's okay. I still love you anyway. Thank you for your time.